Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7 will be our passage of scripture that we begin with tonight, but if you got a handout, you can see that that's definitely not all we're going to be covering. If you didn't get a handout, our ushers have those available at this time, and just raise your hand and be glad to get one to you. While they're doing that, let me make a quick announcement. Back on the Welcome Center desk, you'll find some little cards that Pastor Steve had printed for an activity, outreach activity a couple weeks ago. And we have taken some of them and put them in stacks of 10. And it is just simply something that is great for you to put in your billfold or in your purse or whatever. It simply says Brookside Baptist Church. Then on the back it has the service times. It's got a little map. It's got all the information, phone numbers, email, all that type of thing. Really a handy thing to have so that if you're talking to someone about the church, you can just slip it out of your pocket, out of your purse, and give that to them. And that will be a quick way for them to remember the church and maybe get connected with us. As we look at Proverbs, as we have the last number of months, we are able to see just a contrast of wise versus foolish. And so I decided tonight that I would bring something out that I taught in a parenting class here maybe a year or so ago. It's something that I have used down through the years to help me evaluate various situations that I'm facing. It helps me to evaluate myself to see if there are any characteristics of a foolish person in my own life. Helps me to evaluate friends or potential friends. Sometimes I'll have folks come to me and they'll talk to me about maybe a family member, and I'll say, well, let me give you something that may help you to know some of the characteristics that you're describing to me and what the Bible says about the wise way to deal with that kind of a person. And so we have used this down through the years. It really helps people who want to know how to respond correctly, have a heart's desire to be a help and be a blessing, but just not sure what to say, what not to say, what to do, or should we do anything? And that's the purpose of the study. It's also helped to those that are in authority, dealing with maybe discipline issues, to know how to deal with this person that is just facing some major issues in his or her life. And let me just also say this. As you look at these characteristics, one particular type of a foolish person doesn't necessarily have all of these characteristics. They may have a few of the characteristics, and that will help you to identify, all right, these are the types of characteristics that I see. Now, what does the Bible say about responding to this kind of a person? So therefore, it's kind of a comparison and a contrast between foolishness or fools and wise or wise people. There are five different kinds of Hebrew words that we're looking at this evening, and we will basically see what they describe as five different kinds of foolish people. And it will help you to know how to respond to them or how to identify maybe those characteristics in your own life. Notice number one, and it is the simple fool, and it is the Hebrew word pethay. It simply means someone who is easily fooled and led astray. The easily fooled and led astray. Let's read the first seven verses of chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, that word is used over 100 times in this book, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. The word subtlety and the word discretion are the same word. It simply means a plan. To give a plan, notice, to the simple. That is the simple fool. That's the first kind of fool that we're studying. And so Proverbs will give a plan to someone who is void of understanding, someone who is easily seducible. It will give them a plan to know what to do when they're facing certain situations. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. The word attain there means to purchase, which means it's going to cost you something to get wise counsel. And sometimes it costs you experience. But it goes on to say then, to understand a proverb. The word understand there means to separate mentally. To separate mentally. Notice the last part of the verse, and the interpretation. And so as you study the Proverbs, it gives you the wisdom to be able to separate mentally the proverb and the interpretation. What does this mean? What does this say? And then it says, and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Write the word thought-provoking beside the word dark sayings. Proverbs are obviously thought-provoking. They're designed to be that way. They're designed to be something that you don't just fly through. They're designed to be something that you study and look up the meanings of the words. Then it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the word fool there at the end of verse number 7 is the silly fool. We'll be looking at that on the first part of our study there, number 3. And it is simply someone who is morally deficient, defiant, perverse, and quarrelsome. So this is the silly fool being described. Now circle the word despise and write the word disrespect in the margin of your Bible. It simply says that a silly fool is someone who disrespects wisdom and instruction. And the exact opposite of what a teacher or a parent should be receiving from maybe a young person or a child or an employer should be receiving from his employee. But disrespect is what a silly fool gives to his authority. So now what we want to do then is look at the characteristics, and then we will look at how to respond. First characteristic then of a simple fool is one who believes every word that he is told. Chapter 14 and verse 15. We'll be looking quickly at some of these. We're not going to get through all of these, obviously, or we'll be here till midnight. But I just want you to help you to understand how to use this tool. And in essence, that's what this is. It is a tool to be able to evaluate yourself, evaluate other people, evaluate potential friends or maybe even present friends, and know how to respond. So it says then in chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. So he believes every word that he is told. That's why a simple fool is a wide open person whenever gossip comes his way, because he doesn't check it out. He doesn't think, now how should I respond to this? And to whom should this person be talking? Not me, but some. It is a person who believes every word that he hears. Notice chapter 1 and verse 32. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32. It says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. The word turning away there is translated backsliding. So the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So secondly, they are endangered when silly fools prosper. The word fool there in verse number 32 is the word for silly fool. So whenever a silly fool, go down to number 3. Look at the characteristics of a silly fool. He is someone who is only interested in a good time. He's already rebelled against his parents, maybe her husband, maybe the school, maybe the work authorities. So when a silly fool prospers, when a silly fool gets his own way, the simple fool is drastically hurt, because it seems like silly fools prosper for a period of time. Then notice, number 3, go back to simple fool, number 3. He doesn't foresee danger. Therefore, when great temptations or areas of his weakness come along, he suffers. Chapter 22 and verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so a simple fool is easily seduced. He doesn't understand the danger that he's getting into. He just kind of walks along into destruction. You've got the chapter 7, verse 7 there, and that is the young man who was described by Solomon as the man who's going the way to the strange woman's house, and how he is eventually destroyed because he thinks of it as just an event, but yet it's a path that he's traveling. We've talked about that before. But that's the same kind of person. He is easily seduced and doesn't foresee danger. Then notice number 4. He needs to study and meditate on Proverbs. We saw in verse 4 that when you meditate on Proverbs, a simple fool is instructed. He begins to understand, or she begins to understand, oh, this is why I'm having difficulty. This is why I'm facing the situations that I'm facing, and I find myself easily seduced and messed up and just not having the wisdom that I need. And so they begin to study and meditate on Proverbs, and when they do so, they are helped. Notice number 5, he is benefited when scorners are punished. Go back to chapter 19 and verse 25. Chapter 19 and verse 25. It says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Smite the scorner, and we'll get to the scorning fool as we go along, but when a scorning fool is disciplined, the simple fool will go, ooh, man, okay, I don't want to do that. And so consequently, he is benefited when the scorning fool is punished. Now, B, how should we respond? Obviously, we try to help him through instruction. We try to help him through instruction. A simple fool is one who is naive, who doesn't have wisdom and understanding, but many times is open to instruction. And so consequently, that's where his friends come in. That's where the wise step in, and they're able to say, have you considered this? Do you see any connection between maybe this decision and this situation in your life? And they're open to instruction. Many times. And so that's how the wise person should respond. All right, then go to the second one, the reactionary fool. The Hebrew word is evel, and it simply means he wants to have his own way. Now, when I say he, it doesn't mean that girls can't be reactionary fools, okay? All right, I'll just use the word he through the whole time. But a reactionary fool wants to have his own way, and he is perverse. What are his characteristics? Number one, he seems to be wise if he is quiet. Notice chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. It says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. So sometimes a quiet person can be a reactionary fool. Sometimes you'll have students in your classroom that are just quiet, and you have a tendency to say, "Oh, wow, they're great kids. They may be, you know, behind your back and behind everybody else's back. They may just really be stirring up all kinds of problems. But to you, they're not opening their mouths. And this is the kind of person that is being described. Then notice, if you will, chapter 10 and verse number 8. He loves to talk rather than listen. He loves to talk rather than listen. Chapter 10 and verse 8. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall or be thrown down. Now circle the word prating, and in the margin of your Bible write, a fool of lips. A fool of lips is the literal translation of a prating fool. In other words, is someone who loves to talk rather than listen. And listening is something that I think maybe we need to be having more classes in. I know sometimes we have speech classes in high school, we have speech classes in college. Maybe we need to have listening classes. What do you think? I mean, you know, would that help in marriages today? Oh, yeah. You know, we need to understand how to listen But this kind of a person doesn't like to listen. This kind of a person loves to be the one that is always talking. And I could give plenty of illustrations of the times in my life that this was true for me. I just could not keep my mouth closed. If something came into my mind, it came out my mouth. And I was a reactionary fool. I was the type of person that I got kicked out of fourth grade. I got kicked out of fifth grade. The principal said, don't come back without your parents. And I said in my heart, I don't want to come back, so I'm not bringing my parents. And of course, then that night she called my parents, and so then I came back the next day. But this is the kind of person that I was, you know. I was a reactionary fool. I wanted to have my own way, all right? And so I was a fool of lips. Notice chapter 12 and verse 15 over one page. Chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, a foolish person says, I don't need counsel. I don't need instruction. I don't need anybody to help me with anything. But the Bible says a wise person will receive counsel, will receive instruction, and will gain in his wisdom. But a foolish person just loves to talk rather than listen. Then number three, he minimizes the danger of sin. He minimizes the danger of sin. Chapter 14 and verse 9. Chapter 14 and verse 9 says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock at sin. And so a reactionary fool is many times saying, I don't see anything wrong with, and just fill in the blank. It's the type of person that just loves to argue, loves to debate, loves to, you know, just kind of cause all kinds of issues to arise. Notice number four, it says, every child is born with this type of foolishness. Every child is born with this type of foolishness. Look at verse 3 of the same chapter. It says, in the mouth of the foolish, that's a reactionary fool, is the rod of pride. Notice, I've drawn a line between verse 3 and chapter 14, back to verse 10 of chapter 13. Chapter 13 of verse 10 says, only by pride comes what? Contention or fighting. And so, when I have pride in my life, which of course I'm born with pride, I want my way. So then it says in verse 3 of chapter 14, in the mouth of the foolish is the rod of pride. Notice chapter 22 and verse 15. Every child is born with this kind of heart. It says foolishness, and this is the reactionary type, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. And the word bound there means to bind together in a conspiracy. Isn't that interesting? The word bound means to be bound together in a conspiracy. And that's why, well, you get some kids together that are all reactionary fools and they'll come up with a conspiracy against whoever authority may be in their lives. Their heart to be bound together in a conspiracy. And so the Bible is telling us that all of us are born with this kind of foolishness. We see in chapter 10, verse 23, that mischief is a sport. That's interesting, isn't it? Notice chapter 10, verse 23. It says, it is a sport to a fool, that's a reactionary fool, to do mischief. It's just a sport. And so you could say, are you involved in any sports? And we don't normally think of this as a sport, but a reactionary fool does. That's the kind of sport that he's involved in. Just getting into mischief is the sport that he loves to be a part of. But notice chapter 14, verse 17, it says that a reactionary fool has a quick temper. A quick temper. It says in verse 17 of chapter 14, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Same Hebrew word as the word reactionary fool. So we see then that a reactionary fool has a quick temper. A quick temper. Now, how should we respond? Well, first of all, we direct him to his authorities. We direct him to his authorities because his authorities are the ones that need to be dealing with these issues. Then number two, If we are his authority, we discipline him. Now, he despises these instructions, but it's not too late. Notice chapter 15 and verse number 5. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That means he's not open to smooth talkers. But a fool despises his father's instruction. And so consequently, if you're his authority and you have to instruct him, you have to discipline him, it's not something that he's going to enjoy, but it is something that is necessary. Now the question arises in chapter 7 of verse 22, does some of this discipline need to be made public? Well, that would have to be handled on a case-by-case situation, but there's the possibility mentioned there in chapter 7, verse 22. But then number 3, warn them of the dangers of meddling in other people's problems. Chapter 20 and verse 3. It says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. That's the reactionary fool. Be meddling in other people's problems. And so if you are this person's authority, you need to be warning them, stay out of other people's issues. Don't take up everybody else's offense. Don't say, oh, you're upset about that? Okay, I'll join you. No, the Bible says that you are a reactionary fool if you do that. Stay out of those kind of situations. And then notice at chapter 11, verse 29, this kind of living leads to servanthood. Verse 29, it says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise in heart. That's the reactionary fool. You will be a servant to the wise in heart. If you want to be a leader, don't be a reactionary fool. If you want to be a leader, be a wise person. Be a person who studies and meditates on the Word of God and makes your decisions based upon them, not based on having your own way. All right, then number 3, the silly fool. The word is kassel, and it simply means stupid or silly. And this kind of a person is only interested in a good time. He's already rebelled against his parents, husband, school, or work authorities. What are the characteristics? Number 1, he believes sin is okay because it's popular. We don't have time to look at Psalm 92. You can look at that later. Number 2, he requires punishment by school and civil authorities because he has rebelled against his parents. Notice chapter 19 and verse 29. Proverbs 19 and verse 29. A silly fool is to be punished by his school or civil authorities because he's already rebelled against his parents. It says in verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. And so if a silly fool has already rebelled against his parents, then often they begin to rebel against other authorities in their lives. And so many times I've just seen that whenever I would rebel against my parents, then I would be placed under other authorities who loved me less. And if I rebelled against those authorities, then I would be placed under other authorities who would love me less than that. And it was amazing that here are the ones who love me the most. I need to be responding to them because the further I go from them, the less love I'm receiving from my authorities. It's kind of like the guy that doesn't like the rules at home, so he joins the Marines. You get the picture, you know. I mean, that drill sergeant doesn't really love him. He talks about his mama, you know, and everything else, you know. It's a rough time because he has rebelled against his authority. Now, obviously, I'm not saying if you join the Marines, you've rebelled against your authorities. You understand that, don't you? Okay. But what I'm saying is, if that's the hard attitude, I want to get out from underneath my authorities, then you're going to have major difficulties as you go along. All right, so it leads to, then notice number 2 then, punishment is often to no avail. Chapter 17 and verse 10. If you are a silly fool, you're only interested in having a good time. Notice verse 10, it says, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Sad to say, this kind of a person reaches the point that sometimes discipline does not do any good. You're going to get 100 stripes. And of course, that's pretty rash. That's pretty rough. But basically, I think it's simply a word picture to try to help you to understand that sometimes when you reach this point that you harden yourself even against the discipline that God has designed to help bring you back under his care and under your authorities. Then notice number three, his uncaring attitude towards sin and its results destroys simple fools. We've already seen that in verse 32, chapter 1. His uncaring attitude towards sin and its results destroy simple fools. That's why if you're involved like in a Christian school situation, maybe you're the teacher or the principal or whatever, if you have folks who are silly fools who are consequently getting away with everything that they're doing, they're just they've already rebelled against you, allowing them to continue to get away with all this stuff and having an uncaring attitude is going to destroy those who are the simple fools, those who are easily led astray, and pretty soon even the peer pressure in that Christian school gets worse and worse and worse because the authorities don't deal with the one or two possible silly fools that are destroying the simple fools. And so it's vitally important for us as authorities to know how to respond. Notice number four, he has lost a desire to discover knowledge of right and wrong. He only desires to find himself and then do whatever he wants. Chapter 18 and verse number 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And that's why he delights in giving his own opinions, because he is only interested in just kind of saying what he wants to say, do whatever he wants. Then number five, he destroys the morals of his friends. Chapter 13 and verse 19. Chapter 13 and verse 19, it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The word companion there means one who eats with or one who socializes with a silly fool. And the word fool there is referring to an arrogant one, which is a silly fool. And it says that you will be destroyed. It says you shall be destroyed. And so it's vitally important to understand that having those kinds of friends are going to destroy your morals and possibly even your future in the days to come. Then number six, he loves to argue and trap you in your words. Chapter 18 I've lost my way here. At verses 6 and 7, chapter 18, verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So he loves to argue. He loves to trap you in your words, and that's why so many times if you're dealing with a silly fool and you're trying to reason with him, he will analyze and he will pick out every word and he'll turn every word and he'll say, but you said this and just argue, because that's what he loves to do, because he's looking to trap you in your words. Notice chapter 10, verse 18, it says that he will slander his enemies. He will slander his enemies. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. That's a silly fool. And so he doesn't mind lying at all about people that he doesn't like. That's not a problem, because he doesn't like them. And so consequently, he wants to make them look bad, and so he will slander them. And he's usually a big talker, chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Isn't that interesting? A fool rageth and is confident. In other words, he can be a fantastic leader. He's a confident type of a person, but he's a person that rages. He is a person that he wants everybody to follow his leadership. Chapter 15 and verse 20 says he despises his mother, because many times it's his mother that is there trying to help him come to words of wisdom. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, and a foolish man despiseth his mother. I've often told girls that if you want to know how your future guy that you're dating and maybe fiance, if you want to know how he's going to treat you when you get married, just watch to see how he treats his mother. And how he treats his mother often will let you know how he will treat you as his wife. The Bible says that this silly fool despises his mother. It says in chapter 21 and verse 20 that he is unable to control his finances. Now, how should we respond? Second page, by punishment. Chapter 19 and verse 29, by punishment. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Then secondly, he needs major elongated talks. Chapter 26 and verse 5. He's a silly fool, and he needs major talks. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. In other words, don't let him continue on in his ways of pride. He needs major, elongated talks. Then number three, go from his presence after we explain the Bible reason for his error. Chapter 14 and verse number 7. After we explain the reason for the Bible error, it says, go from the presence of a foolish man, that's a silly fool, when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge, or the lips of discernment is what the word knowledge there means. So after you have warned him, you go from his presence. You don't stay around. You don't keep him on as a friend. You don't continue to try to spend all kinds of time. You talk to him, major elongated talks, and then you back away. You leave them alone. Notice number four, you don't honor him. It feeds his pride. It feeds his pride. Chapter 26 and verse 1. Chapter 26 and verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly or fitting for a fool. Not fitting or seemly for a fool. It feeds his pride. Notice verse 8, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. Many times you're trying to get people involved, and maybe you're trying to turn peer pressure around or something. And so sometimes the suggestion is, well, why don't we make that person a leader and give them some leadership responsibilities, and maybe they'll turn around. Don't ever give a fool a position of leadership. It does not help them turn around. It feeds their pride, and as a result of that, destroys many people. Don't honor him. It feeds his pride. And then chapter 14, verses 12 to 13 says you'll recognize his end. Recognize his end. We don't have time. We're running out of time for the last two, but notice the scorning fool, that's the word lutz. It means to scoff, to mock, or to scorn. And what I'm going to do is just read through the characteristics. You can look up the verses when you get to it, and then we'll look up the verses for how do we respond. First of all, a scorning fool is one who has rejected truth and enjoys mocking God's standards. Rejected truth, and as a result, loves to mock the standards of God, his characteristics. Number one, he hates anyone who corrects him. Chapter 9, verse 8, chapter 15, verse 12. Hates anyone who corrects him. He requires punishment by school and civil authorities because he's rebelled against his own parents. Number two, he's obnoxious and irritating to folks around him. Obnoxious and irritating. Number three, he seeks wisdom concerning what to do when in trouble, but he's unable to find it. You see, that's the only time that he ever seeks wisdom, when he's in trouble. You know, when he's been caught, maybe when he's in jail or when he's in detention or when he's having to pay a major fine or whatever. That's he seeks wisdom, but he's never able to find it because he's not willing to give up his sin and not willing to turn back to God. Number four, contentions or strife cease when the scorning fool is cast out. Chapter 22 and verse 10. And so if you're having major issues in a group and you've got someone who is a scorning fool, someone who's mocking God's truth, someone who has rejected the truth and makes fun of everybody that stand up for the truth or that teach the truth, the Bible says to get them out of the picture. Get them out of the group because the strife and the fighting will cease when he is cast out. Why? Because chapter 13, verse 1 says, rebuke is not heard. You can sit down and talk till you're blue in the face, And the person will not hear what you have to say because they are scorning God. They don't care what God has to say. Number six, God will judge him. He can't get lost in a crowd. Chapter 9 and verse 12, very interesting verse. He can't get lost in a crowd. God will judge him. Now, how should we respond? You stay away from him. Chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. That means to act hatefully. And so the word reprove there means to discipline or instruct. And a scorner is a proud mocker. That's the scorning fool. So if you try to reprove or shed light on what this mocker is doing wrong, you get to yourself shame. The word shame means disgrace or confusion. Disgrace or confusion. That's why many times leaders are constantly just you know, so confused and frustrated and everything, because you are doing that which God says don't do. And then it goes on to say, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. And so we can see then that we stay away from him. And then number two, B2, if you are his authority, punish him. This will instruct the simple fool. A simple fool will watch that he's being punished and go, ooh, he can't get away with it. It may not help that scorning fool, but it will help the simple fool who is watching and who is learning lessons. Then lastly is the committed fool. It's the word Nabal. In the Hebrew, it means stupid, wicked, or vile. Notice, he is the victim of his own lustful, willful passions. He's the victim. Now, no committed fool believes he's a victim of anything, but he is. He is the victim of his own willful, lustful passions. Notice the next statement. He is committed to teaching you. He's committed to teaching you. What are his characteristics? He tells his heart there is no God to whom he must one day give an account and be judged. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Ezekiel 13 and verse 3 says he loves to pose as a religious leader. It says, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. The foolish prophets, that's the committed fool. But yet he's a prophet. And it says, woe unto him, because all he's doing is following his own spirit. He's just doing what he wants to do. He's saying what he wants to say, but he hasn't gotten a message from God. And so consequently, a committed fool can pose as a religious leader. Notice number three, he removes joy from his father. You obviously can understand that. Removes joy from his father. He blasphemes God's name. Number five, he'll turn the love of his friends into apathy. And here, of course, is the story of the man by the name of Nabal. His very name means wicked, vile, committed fool. And his wife was Abigail, and his actions turned the heart of his own wife against him, his own actions. And so he'll turn the love of his friends into apathy. And so many times you hear the expression, he has killed my love. If you are married to a committed fool, whew, it's tough. It's tough. So how do we respond? Number one, we reject his teachings. We reject his teachings because he's wicked and vile and he's only into it for what he can get out of it. But then secondly, you have no association with him. You don't go near him. You remember when David and his men were going to be going to approach Nabal and deal with the injustice that had been given to him and his men? And Abigail came riding out and pleaded with David not to do that. And so David backed off and did not go near Nabal. It's the exact picture of how you and I should respond to a committed fool. Do not go near them. What happened at the end of the chapter? God dealt with him. God dealt with him, and that's the only thing that can happen. God will deal with them. And many times I will say to someone who says, I am dealing with a committed fool, then I will say, then give them to God. Give them to God and tell them, I'm giving you to God. There's nothing I can do. You've done everything you possibly can to destroy everything, that any influence or teaching that I've tried to give you. I am turning you over to God. Have nothing to do with it. Now, if you're still their authority, obviously you have to continue to be their authority until they reach the age where they're on their own. But after that, have nothing to do with them. Don't go near them. Now notice the summary. If there are any of these characteristics in your life, repent and ask God for grace and wisdom to change. And this is obviously a list that you'd want to sit down and just kind of go through each one of the verses slowly and just ask the Lord, Lord, is this me? Is this characteristic true of me? If it is, Lord, then I can see what you've said is going to be my end result. And Lord, I don't like that end result. And God says, great, change. Make some changes. Repent. Turn back to God. Turn back to your authorities, back to your parents. Become respectful. Become thoughtful and sensitive to what they have to say. But do not continue in your own way. Secondly, how do you know what type of fool a person is and how to respond? Number one, you watch their characteristics and their attitudes. Secondly, you pray for the Holy Spirit discernment. Lord, give me discernment to know exactly what I'm seeing. And then thirdly, you follow the biblical directives. You don't make up your own. You follow what the Bible has to say. And as we do this, I'm convinced that we will be able to then respond with wisdom when someone else is dealing with foolishness. And in doing so, God says, I honor wisdom even when I have to punish foolishness. And all God's people said, Father, we pray that you would give us your wisdom and insight on a daily basis. Help us to know, Lord, how we can love you and serve you and have direction concerning our own lives and direction and concerning those with whom we work and with whom we live. In Jesus' name, amen.